So we're on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, but let's go back for a moment to the Braisa on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis and review what we did yesterday so that we'll be up to date for today. The Braisa records a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim about the case of Gona V'Tovach B'Shabbos or Gona V'Tovach Lavodas Kochavim. We'll leave out Shara Niskel for the time being. We'll come back to it later on today. Rabbi Meir holds that you pay Dalet V'Hei and the Chachamim poach. Now, this was a problem because the Gemara assumed that even though Rabbi Meir, in the case of Loke or Mishalim, says you get both punishments, but in the case of Misa Mishalim, he agrees that you don't pay. So why does the Ganav have to pay Dal V'Hei if he's Chayv Misa for Tvicha B'Shabbos, Tvicha Lavodas Kochavim? And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan to split it between two people. There's the Ganav himself, we'll call him the Mishalech, and then there's the Shliach that he sends to do the Tvicha. So the Ganav for sure is not Chayv for violating the Shabbos, there's no Chayv Misa. And now the issue, the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, this braisa is about the din of Dalet V'Hei. Both Chachamim and Rabbi Meir agree that in the case of Tvicha, the principle is Yesh Liach L'Dvar Avera. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, the Ganav pays Dalet V'Hei. There's no Chiyuv Misa here. But then we got stuck with my Tamayu Derabbanan. And here's where we turn to the top of Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara, in order to explain the Rabbanan of Rabbi Meir and the Ptur of the Ganav from paying Dalet V'Hei, in the case where he appointed a Shliach, we introduce a combination of two different principles, two different Tanoim. The first principle and the Tana that we mentioned yesterday is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that the Torah does not recognize Shechita for any dinim whatsoever, even for a Chiv Mamon, unless that Shechita is Mater the Basal Achila. So we gave an example of a Ganav who, after he stole the animal, he shechted it and they found it to be a treifa, which means that the shechita is not matir the basal achila, and Rabbi Shimon says in such a case the Ganav is exempt from paying Dalet V'Hei. And why is that? Because the principle called shechita sheina ruya lo shmei shechita. And yesterday we mentioned a number of different sugis and shas and the different dinim and repercussions of this principle of Shechita Sheina Ruya Lo Shmei Shechita. Then we're going to combine the Chachamim with the Shita Rabbi Yochanan Asanlar. And here we have a Braisa that records a three-way Machlokas Tanoim with regard to someone who cooked on Shabbos. Now when we talk about cooking on Shabbos, we could break it down into various component parts. We have the issue of Mezid versus Shogeg, the issue of Lo versus Acherim, the issue of Iser Hana, and whether it's only during Shabbos or even after Shabbos. So these are the various issues, the variables that come up. We also mentioned yesterday that there are different ways of explaining the Iser of eating this food that was cooked on Shabbos. One way is to say it's a knas, that since he violated Melech HaShabbos, Melech HaSbishel, therefore we penalize him and we don't allow him to eat from this Bishel. The second possibility was that the Rabbanan created an Iser Hana, and they said that it's completely Osir Ba'ana. And the third possibility was this Xeris HaKos of some sort of Doraisa, which is going to be derived from the Alfusa, that you cannot benefit from a Maisa Shabbos, from a Chil Shabbos. And according to the first two reasons, we're only dealing with the Darabonon. According to the third reason, we're dealing with the Doraisa. Now, according to the first reason, that we're talking about a knas, it makes sense to limit that knas to the Mavashal himself. There's no reason why Acherim should suffer that penalty. However, if it's a Knas, then we might wonder whether or not we can implement that Knas even in the case of Shogeg. Shogeg, on the one hand, is a little bit of an element of negligence, not full-fledged negligence. Does he deserve a Knas? And to boot, you may want to say Gazrinon or Kansinon, Shogeg Otumezit, that there's a kind of a package deal here in which we equate Shogeg and Mezit. But one thing we should make clear right up front, that the third explanation of Gzeres HaKosuv only applies to a Mezit. The Torah says that you violated the Shabbos, and for that we generated an Iser Maisa Shabbos. That's only the Mezit. Now, we start with the Shita of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says the following: Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'shoge yochal b'mezid lo yochal. So right up front, it seems that Rabbi Meir is operating within the framework of a knas. Hence, he limits the knas to a mezid, and in the case of shogeg, there's no knas. As far as mezid is concerned, how long is this Issa? Does it extend even beyond Shabbos? Well, Rashi here, and we're going to see there's another Rashi elsewhere, but Rashi here maintains that according to Rabbi Meir, when he says b'mezid lo yochal, he means li'olam, forever and ever. In the case of shogeg, there's no knas at all. And in the case of shogeg, they can eat the cholent, we'll call it the cooked cholent that was cooked on Shabbos, b'shogeg, even on Shabbos itself. So serve the cholent on Shabbos. So if I ask you a quiz question, when can we cook a Shabbos? When can we eat a cholent that was cooked on Shabbos? It would be a case where it was cooked on Shabbos b'shogeg, according to Rabbi Meir, because since Rabbi Meir holds that there's no reason to implement a knas in a case of shogeg, therefore even on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to eat from the product of a bishul. However, if it was a mezid situation, then the way Rashi interprets it is lo yochal li'olam. Now, the language and the formulation of Rabbi Meir is addressing the mavashal himself, because it says hamavashal yochal or hamavashal lo yochal. The implication is that the iser maisa shabbos of this bishul is limited to the mavashal, but not, does not extend to apply to other Yisraelim, which means that that's going to change the whole nature of what I said to you before, because then with this cholent that was deliberately cooked on Shabbos, it's very possible we could eat it on Shabbos according to Rabbi Meir. Not the Mavashal himself, because he's subject to this Knas, but as far as Yisraelim Acherim, other Jews that were not guilty of Bishul, they can eat this cholent even on Shabbos. So getting back to my quiz question, when could you have a cholent that was cooked on Shabbos and serve it for lunch on that very Shabbos? The answer is, according to Rabbi Meir, either if it was a cooking that was done b'shogeg. Shogeg means that either he forgot it was Shabbos, or perhaps he didn't know that there was an Issur Bishul on Shabbos. Then you could eat the cholent on Shabbos. That's called shogeg. There's no knas. Number two, there's no knas even in the case of mezid, as far as acherim is concerned. So although there'll be one person at the table who's not going to eat the cholent, he's probably not upset about it because he's going down to eat McDonald's. I mean, this is a guy who cooked on Shabbos b'mezid. He's chayav misa. You know, his religious standards are not that high. But anyway, he can't join us for the eating of the cholent. So but everyone else can eat the cholent.
How often are we going to have someone cooking a mezid who's then going to worry about the knas?
That's an interesting question. I mean, if he's a mezid, why? It seems that even in the case of a mezid, there is some sort of motivation of, I want to benefit from this. Meaning he's urgently, he has to put food on the table on Shabbos, so he cooks on Shabbos. But if you tell him you're not going to benefit from that cooking, then he might desist. Anyway, that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir, according to the way Rashi interprets it here. Now, I just wanted to add one thing over here, that Rav Meir holds, let's just review this, that the Isra Anon Melecha Shabbos is Knas. And the Chachomim did not prohibit this Knas in a case of Shogeg, but Rak B'mezid Kansu Chachomim. Not only that, Rabbi Meir holds Lo Gazrinon Shogeg Otu Mezid. We can make that clear cut, you know, slice decision between Shogeg and Mezid. And therefore, as far as Shogeg is concerned, there's no Knas. Now, as far as Acherim is concerned, there's no Iser because there's no Knas, even if it would be on Shabbos itself, even in the case of Mezid. Okay, now he writes here that although Rashi doesn't say explicitly that Acherim Mutarim La'ochlo Afilu Bo Bayom, the Shita Mekubetzes establishes that that's the case. And there's a whole logical analysis here of the Shita Mekubetzes. I'm not going to get into that right now. I want to move on to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir than Rabbi Meir. How so? Rabbi Yehuda says, B'shogeg Yochel, but only L'motzoi Shabbos. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is also operating with the distinction between Mezid and Shogeg, apparently operating within the framework of Knas. But yet, he's worried about Shogeg to a certain extent. I call it a halfway measure, which means that Gazrinon Shogeg Otu Mezid, but only as far as Shabbos itself. So it's almost like, I don't know if you're familiar with the terminology, Tarte Litivusa. There are two things that go in favor of being lenient, and that is a combination of a Shogeg, because Shogeg itself is not royal Iknas, it's only a Gzera Otu Mezid, and number two, that it's after Shabbos itself. And if it's after Shabbos itself, there's no real benefit that he's gaining from cooking on Shabbos, so we've already postponed that. So if you combine those two factors together, what I call Tarte Lekula, number one, we should be makel because it's only a Shogeg, which is only a Gzera Otu Mezid. Number two, it's mostly Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, limits the Iser in a case of Shogeg to Shabbos itself. After Shabbos, he's not going to extend the Iser of Shogeg even as far as the Mavashal is concerned. So there is now a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as far as Shogeg is concerned. Whereas Rabbi Meir says Shogeg is outside the pale of Knas, Rabbi Yehuda, to some extent, partially, introduces Knas even to a Shogeg, because Gazrin and Shogeg are to Mezid, but only on Shabbos itself. Now, once again, as we said before in Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda is only addressing himself to the Mavashel. He doesn't mention Acherim. The premise, therefore, is that if Rabbi Yehuda is operating within the framework of Knas, the Knas only applies to the one who violated the Shabbos, he did the Bishul. But as far as Acherim are concerned, they can eat it, even on Shabbos itself. Okay.
But if we say that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are both Knas,
right,
and Rabbi Yochanan is obviously Gezeret HaKetuv,
right, that's what
then we don't have any instance of that third or second.
The Isra Anon.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on to that for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if the explanation for Rabbi Yehuda is Knas, and we introduce Shogeg Otu Mezid, so many Rishonim hold that it makes no sense, therefore the Rabbi Yehuda would limit the Iser in the case of Shogeg to Shabbos itself and Bimata or Motzi Shabbos, because they think that Gazrinon Shogeg Otu Mezid means we have to postulate an absolute equation between Shogeg and Mezid. And if in the case of Mezid it's Osir Olamis, meaning even after Shabbos, the same should apply to the case of Shogeg. Right, you know, once you accept the principle of Gazrin and Shogeg to Mezid, it doesn't make sense to to have less than an absolute equation between the two, because otherwise there's going to be confusion.
Well, he's I'm not sure if this.
So again, I don't know if you were here, Eric, when we had a long discussion about Tati L'Tevusa, in which we suggested that maybe Rabbi Yehuda says that since Shogeg itself is a Gzera, and it's enough to make this Gzera on Shabbos itself, to now make a Gzera after Shabbos, like a Gzera on top of a Gzera. But I'm just pointing out to you that there are Rishonim, the Shidduch Betz has a whole record of Rishonim, who assume that if Rabbi Yehuda should be interpreted within the framework of within the framework of Gazrinon, Shogeg, or Tumezid, then we should make an absolute equation between the two. I'll just read it to you. He says, Bir b'shita mekubetza she'ena kavona shal isur lechal u'machmas knas. It cannot be that Rabbi Yehuda accepts Rabbi Meir's definition of knas. Because if that be the case, then we have to take that knas, apply it even in the case of shogeg, in the same way that we do in mezid, because of the principle of gazrin and shogeg are two mezid. Ella, but rather Rabbi Yehuda should be interpreted in a different way. Shemachmas haknas hechilu rabbanon iser hana mimalecha shabbos gam b'shogeg. So it means the following, that knas is the keresh kvitza, that's the jump off point. That's the takeoff point. But they go a step further. Rabbanan said, well, once there's a knas, let's call it an Iser Hanoah. And that means that not only is it also Bachil, you can't even feed it to your dog. However, when we institute that Iser Hanoah as a result of the knas, if we extend that Iser Hanoah even to Shogeg, here Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Iser Hanoah b'drabbanan only applies to Mezid and not to Shogeg. So the Gazrinon here is only as far as the one element is concerned. There are two variables here in Rabbi Yehuda. There's the Knas variable, and here the Knas can apply even to Shogeg by virtue of the Gazrinon. Then there's another Iser. The Iser after Shabbos is not based on Knas. It's because Rabbanan upgraded it, and they went a step further, and they instituted what's called an Iser Hanah. As far as the Iser Hanah is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Iser Hanah, which is again even after Shabbos is ended, that applies strictly to Mezid and not to Shogeg. All right, Rabbosa, I have a lot to accomplish today, so I'm always trying to juggle between Iyun and getting the sugya down. So if you'll bear with me, let's make a little bit more progress in the sugya, because we have to get to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler and then go back to the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachon. So that's what we have so far. Now, if on Shabbos he would eat the food, correct, that was cooked on Shabbos, so that would be a hanah that he's benefiting specifically from this bishul. So what we're going to see now is the following, that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that in Shogeg, as we said before, we're not going to engender an Iser hanah, and therefore hence b'motzai Shabbos is going to be mutter. But let's talk for a moment about Mezid. And here Rabbi Yehuda says, B'mezid lo yochal olamis. Which means the following, that at least on a drabbanan level, the Chachamim are instituting an Iser Hanah. Now you might say, well, what do you mean by an Iser Hanah? Are you telling me that the Cheftz is Aser Hanah? Or are you telling me that don't benefit from the Malach of Shabbos? And then Afkamina is going to be this word Olamis. Because if I'm going to say, well, don't benefit from the Bishul on Shabbos, then after Shabbos, I'm not benefiting from the Bishul of Shabbos, because I could just as easily have cooked it after Shabbos. So when am I benefiting from cooking on Shabbos? I couldn't eat the raw food on Shabbos because of the Malach of Shabbos. I violated Malach of Shabbos. We're talking about a Mezid now. And now he's benefiting from the Malach on Shabbos. But as far as Motzi Shabbos is concerned, there wouldn't have been any reason to say that there's an Isur Hanah in the sense that he's benefiting from the Bishul, because he just as easily could have cooked it after Shabbos. Hence, in order to justify Rabbi Yehuda's principle here of Bevezel Lo Yochal Olamis, we have to institute a different, we have to formulate a different kind of Isur Hanah. Isur Hanah means not that I'm benefiting from the fact that there was a Bishul, but that the Cheft itself, the object itself, becomes what we call a Cheft di Sura. And it's Osir Ba'anah Olamis. So that's a whole different type of Isur Hanah, albeit it's older Rabbanon, but nevertheless it's an Isur Hanah. So let's now summarize the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as a double header machlokas. Number one, as far as Knas is concerned, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are going to argue as to whether or not the Knas would be imposed even on a shogeg. Rabbi Yehuda holds that konsu shogeg are too mazik. And that Knas, which applies again during Shabbos itself, will apply even to a shogeg. Again, we're only talking about the Mavashal himself. There's no Isur al Acherim, even on Shabbos itself, and even in the case of Mezim, because they're not worthy of Knas. They did in no way violated the Shabbos. Now we have another Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's as far as the Isur Hanah Midrabana. Rabbi Meir never, it was never on his radar screen. He never recognized an Isur Hanah Midrabana. And therefore, number one, there's no Isur Lacherim Klal, correct? There's no Isur Lacherim Klal. And again, we said before that in any event, even as far as Knas is concerned, according to Rabbi Meir, there's no Isur Tacherim Bechlal. But now we're just pointing out that if you introduce an additional variable into the equation, namely an Isur Hanah, that doesn't apply to Acherim. So therefore, Rabbi Meir is going to tell us that if it's a case of Mezid, where there is a Knas, Lo Ye Ochel Olamis, even Rabbi Meir will agree that in the case of Mezid it's Olamis. How do we add the element of Olamis here? And the answer is we're going to have to introduce an Isur Hanah Midrabanan. So again, there's no machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about the existence of A, a Knas, and B, an Isur Hanah. Hence there's going to be an Isur Olamis. However, the machlokas is going to be, how do we deal with Shogeg? According to Rabbi Meir, there was never a Knas in Shogeg, and Kolshke, there was never an Isur Hanah in Shogeg. According to Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, in the case of Shogeg, we apply the principle of Kansinon, Shogeg got to Mezid, but only as far as the Knas is concerned, not as far as the Isur Hanah. Hence, Motzi Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda will agree in the case of Shogeg that it's Mutter. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree to 2 points. Number one, there's no Isur on Acherim, because both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir address only the Mavashel. And the reason for that is there's no Knas Shaychus in the case of Acherim. And number two, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree to this concept of Isur Hanah in the case of Mezid. And so far the Machlokas is only in the case of Shogeg. Do we have, at least on Shabbos itself, a Knas because of extending the Knas from Mezid to Shogeg? Then we go on to point number two. And that is, oh, so again, I think we've said both points. Let me just summarize. Number one, the point is that Rabbi Meir is operating with Knas only vis-a-vis the Mezid, not to extend it and apply it to the Shogeg. Rabbi Yehuda extends the Knas to a Shogeg. Number two, Rabbi Yehuda adds an Isur Hanah Midrabanan, which he limits to Mezid and doesn't apply to Shogeg. And therefore, in the case of Mezid, Rabbi Yehuda says it's Asur. It's Asur. Okay, sorry, Rabbos. I missed the point here. When I said before that according to Rabbi Meir, in the case of Mezid, it's Asur li'olam. It's Asur li'olam. Here also, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Why? Because, again, this is Rashi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Mezid, there's an Iser for a Cherem as well. Okay, that's an important point that we didn't make. This is going to be a second machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Again, according to Rabbi Meir, forget it. There's no such thing as a Chefetz Visura of Hanom and Rabbanon, and that would apply even to Achirim. It's pure Knas from A to Z, and it only applies to Mezid and not to Shogig. We said that even within the context of Knas, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir, and he applies the Knas even to a Shogig. That's point number one. Now we're on to point number two. Let's talk about Mezid. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree that in the case of Mezid, it's Osir Olamis. However, there's a fundamental difference here. Whereas Rabbi Meir holds that the Iser in the case of Mezid is limited to the Mavashel, because again, we're talking about a Knas, and he doesn't apply Knas to Shogeg, that's Rabbi Meir. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's going to be an Iser in the case of Mezid, even as far as Acherim are concerned, but that's only during Shabbos itself. Why? And here's another fundamental machlok stream, Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim. Between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, correction. Because Rabbi Yehuda introduces an Iser Hanah. What do I mean by an Iser Hanah? Rabbi Yehuda says that we cannot benefit from a Melecha Shabbos B'mezid. And that benefit would be even as far as Acherim is concerned, but only on Shabbos. So here Rabbi Yehuda postulates two different categories of an Iser Hanah.
Wait, I don't see where do
a... Give me 1 minute. Okay. Just wait. Again, we don't know where Rashi got from, so don't ask me where Rashi got from. Right now we have to accept it as Gzeres HaKosov.
Okay.
So we're just trying to calculate, again, there's another Rashi elsewhere that this, but calculate the differences between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has a twofold Iser Hanah. One is not to benefit from the Melecha Shabbos. The other is that the Chefetz itself becomes a Chefetz of the Isura. Midrabanan again. And here's going to be the difference between the Mavashal and Acherim. As far as the Acherim is concerned, the Iser is only going to be during the course of Shabbos. Why? Because once Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to benefit, that's called Hanah, then if they would eat the cholent on Shabbos, they're benefiting from the Bishal on Shabbos. Whereas regard to the Mavashal himself, we went from the level of Knas and we upgraded it to the level of Iser Hanah. That becomes an Iser Hanah in the Cheftza, which means it's also a lovis. Now I'm ready for questions. So you see a twofold machlok stream.
Yeah, but I don't see where Rashi is bringing in Acherim. It says Ela Acherim. I don't know what that means.
Before we get to that, I just want to make sure I understand Rashi. So on the Beshogeg, there's no Iser on the Acherim during Shabbat?
Right.
So the Acherim only come in the Mezid for us?
Right, because our relationship to a shogeg is through this principle called gazrinon, or I should say kansinon, shogeg atu mezid. And gazrinon shogeg atu mezid, for some reason, we're not exactly sure why, only applies during Shabbos itself. It doesn't apply after Shabbos. That's as far as Shogeg is concerned. Again, just for the sake of making it easier to remember, right? I call this a mnemonic device. I call it Tartit L'Tivus. So that was the part of the Shira, Eric, I think that you missed. That number one, the only reason Shogeg should be also is because of a Gzeira. Number two, even Motzi Shabbos is not really included under the Iser Knas. It's going to be included under an Iser Hanah, as we'll discuss. And that leads us to the second machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, which Rashi postulates, that Rabbi Yehuda institutes an Iser Hanah, and he says the following: don't benefit from this malacha. Now, again, we're talking about Mezid, because again, for some reason, Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Shogeg, is only interested in the Knas in its broader application, and that's only on Shabbos itself. We're not exactly sure why, but right now we'll accept that point. When we get to Motzi Shabbos, then we're talking about an Iser Hanah, Midrabanan. And that Iser Hanah splits into two. It's number one, an isur not to benefit from what was done, and number two, it's an isur not to benefit from this object which was created, meaning, I mean, it was raw, but now it's a new object by a Melech HaShabbos b'mezid. Now, when you're talking about an isur ador b'mezid, we're going to differentiate between lo and acherim. As far as lo is concerned, we're going to engender an isur chefta. We're going to say that the chefta is also not olamis. As far as acherim is concerned, it's a different type of isur ador, much more limited type of isur ador, which says don't benefit from the Melech of Shabbos. And that he's benefiting on during Shabbos. So as far as Acherim is concerned, once we make Havdalah Motzi Shabbos, we can eat the cholent.
I can actually understand why he limits it just to Shabbos. Because if, with Bishogeg, you're not doing it intentionally, and so the Knas is really to just discourage somebody from, let's say, claiming they did it in Bishogeg. And in other words, since...
And they really did it by Mason,
right.
You know, they'll fool it
right
up.
Yeah. That's the benefit. Because after right. Shabbat, there's no benefit for them if they...
Right, the motivation here for him to cook on Shabbos would be that he desperately needs food on Shabbos, so he went ahead and he cooked on Shabbos. I'm not going to praise him for that, but that's right. At least we understand where he's coming from. So the Knas is going to be limited to Shabbos. We're going to extend that Knas even to Shogeg. That's Rabbi Yehuda's breakthrough. And now Rabbi Yehuda comes up with a second breakthrough, and that is an Isur Hanoah. Where does it express itself? It expresses itself, number one, in the fact that it's Osir Lo B'mezid Olamis, and number two, it's going to be Osir Acherim, at least until Motzi Shabbos. One second, there's a lot of mathematics here, so give me a second. There's one point I think I may have missed. Just one second. You see, and again, this is going to be the discrepancy between Rashi here and Rashi in Chulin. Does Rabbi Meir accept the Isur HaNoah? Well, it depends. If you're talking about the Isur HaNoah not to benefit from the Malacha, which would extend to Acherim during the course of Shabbos, here Rabbi Meir's answer is a definite no. He never accepted that. And that is a secondary machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. However, if you ask me about the Isur HaNoah and the Chefta, which is relevant to the Mevashel himself, here there's a discrepancy between two Rashis, but at least Rashi here seems to assume that Rabbi Meir is on board, that Rabbi Meir does accept this concept of in mezid lo yochel olamis, which means that we upgrade the Iser Achila in the Bishel, again b'mezid, from the level of a Knas perhaps to the level of an Iser Hanoah, meaning that the Knas would, in order to give the Knas a real far-reaching sweep, we told the Mevashel that he can't eat this cholent lo olamis. So there, again, in Rashi here, there seems to be an element of Isur HaNoah that even Rabbi Meir accepted in the case of Mezid. Now, in this footnote, he says the following. Bi'arnu es hasugya lefi... as hasugya shall Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda lefi divrei Rashi kan ubibiuro shall hashita megubetzes. Omnam Rashi bechulin v'harbe rishonu bechulin. He quotes the Ramban and Rashba and Ritva and others. Biru ba'ofen acher as divrei Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yehuda v'avdelim bein hashitos heim shlosha b'shlosha pratim. I'm obviously committing suicide here because there's no way I'm going to finish the sugya in the next 15 minutes. But what I started, so let me just finish a few points. Number one, Bidas Rabbi Meir, Be'inyon Ha'isur Lamavashel B'Shabbos K'Shabishel B'Mezid, L'Rashi Kan, Hu Isur Olam, which means that as far as the Mezid is concerned, we have this element of an Isur HaNoah, which is inherent in the object, and therefore this you know, this cholent, as far as the Mavashel is concerned, has to go into the rubbish bin. Ve'ilu Rashi Bechulin, Hu Asur Rak Bo Bayom, meaning the Rabbi Meir never accepted an Isur HaNoah in that sense. It was just a Knas. But Motzi Shabbos is Mutter even for the Mavashel. Again, there are many different proofs that led the Rishonim to that conclusion. Number two, Bedas Rabbi Meir Be'inyan HaIsur L'Acherim K'Shabishel B'Mezid L'Rashi HaMutarim Afilu Bo Bayom. In other words, Rashi never had an Isur HaNoah. I'm sorry, I meant to say Rabbi Meir never had an Isur HaNoah. But again, that's a little complicated because we said that according to Rashi here, Rabbi Meir does have an Isra Hanah as far as Mezid is concerned. But in any event, in the case of Mezid Legabi Acherim, there is no Isra Hanah. In other words, Rashi here is accepting, within Rabbi Meir, is accepting the entity of an Isra Hanah in the Cheftza, and that's Mezid, but the Isra to benefit from the Bishul, that, according to Rabbi Meir, was never accepted. Masha'ekin Rashi in Chulin says that even Rav Meir agrees that it's only Mutala Cherim in the case of Mezid, B'motzi Shabbos. Because otherwise you're benefiting during Shabbos from the Chul Shabbos, even though it's not my Chul Shabbos, it's his Chul Shabbos. And number three, B'das Rav Yehuda, B'inyan Ha'isul Cherim, B'bishol B'shogeg, Shall Rashi Khan, according to this Rashi here, Lacherim Mutar Afilu Bo Bayom. So as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Rashi here holds that there was never an Isra Hanah that was instituted by the Rabbanan to benefit from the Malacha. And therefore, Lacherim it's going to be Mutar, even Bo Bayom. But Rashi in Chulin says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only mutar tacherim motzi Shabbos, accepting, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda accepts the element which, again, they've established even in Rabbi Meir, right? So let's go back to Rabbi Meir, that as far as Rashi and Chulin is concerned, acherim can only benefit from a motzi Shabbos. It makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda would certainly say the same thing, that acherim could only benefit from motzi Shabbos. All right, Rabbi Mosai, no questions now. I got to get to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. I apologize profusely. We can talk about this another time. I'm available from 1:30 till 1:30 p.m. till 1:30 a.m. or anytime tomorrow. I'm free. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer. Okay, because this is the main point of our sugya, to get to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, because otherwise you're going to go barefoot. B'shogeg ye'ochel L'motzi Shabbos L'acherim. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of statements over here. According to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, if the bishul took place b'shogeg, then as far as acherim are concerned, they would be allowed to eat this on Motzi Shabbos. Now, there's a long discussion here about something called Bechdei Sheyasu. You familiar with that? Let's say the bishul itself would take 10 minutes. It's not as soon as the bell rings and we made Avdolah, we have to wait another 10 minutes. So that no one benefits from this Melecha Shabbos at all. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler applies that even to the case of Shogeg, which we've never seen before. V'lo lo. But however, as far as the Mavashal himself, even though he accidentally, right, he was unintentional about violating the Shabbos, nevertheless, he can't benefit from the Malacha. Not, right, he too cannot benefit from the Malacha. I mean, it makes sense if the Acherim can't benefit from the Malacha until after Shabbos, certainly he can't benefit from the Malacha Motzi Shabbos. Oh. So as far as Shogeg is concerned, we have to wait till Motzai Shabbos and tag on another 10 minutes, which is called B'chdei Sheyasu. Now we get to Mezid. In the case of Mezid, says Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, lo ye'ochel olamis lo lov lo acherim, which means that if this cholent was cooked on Shabbos, throw it in the rubbish bin. You cannot sell it. You can't give it to a gift to a guy. You can't feed it to a dog. You can't get any benefit from it. Now it comes out that if we apply Rabbi Yochanan Hasanlar to the case of Shechita, if a person shechted an animal b'mezid, which is the subject of our Brisa, and again in this case it's the shliach of the ganav who shechted it b'mezid, then Rabbi Yochanan Sandler would say that what do we do with this meat? You got to throw it in the rubbish bin. It's worthless. Why? Because this is an Isra Shabbos b'mezid, which generates a Hefta di Sura. Let's assume it's Doraisa. The Gemara is now going to enter into that whole issue whether it's Doraisa or not. Assuming it's Doraisa, then the Shechita did nothing more then generate a chiyuv misa and generate an iser of Maisa Shabbos in the chef to the basar. There's no way that you can call this a shchita ruuya, because the shchita is not mati the basar. Hence, according to the chachamim, since shchita sheina ruuya lav shvei shchita, and that was Rabbi Shimon who says that if the god of shechts the animal and we find out it's a treifa, he doesn't pay dal vehei. Here too, if he shechts the animal on Shabbos b'mezid, which is our case, then according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, it's a shchita sheina ruuya, and therefore he doesn't pay dal vehei. He does not pay dal vehei. Just 1 second. What is Reb Meir holding? Because Reb Meir Lishitoso holds that there is no Issa Doraisa of Maisa Shabbos. The whole business is only a Knas. If it's only a Knas, then on a Doraisa level, the Shechita itself would be Mutter. And not only that, the boss of the Shechita would be Mutter. It's just that Mirabana, there would be a Knas that he couldn't eat it. Let's say the Shochin himself maybe can't eat it, but certainly others can eat it, so it's a Shechita Ruya. Hence, he pays Dalet Vehei. My time with Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Kedorish Rabbi Chia Apischa de Beinasiya. So this was a drasha that Rabbi Chia offered in front of the Beis Hanasi. Probably means Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And he quotes a pasuk in Shmos Perek Lamed Aleph in Kitisa. It says, "Ushmartem es Shabbos ki kodesh hi lachem." So there's an equation here between Shabbos and kodesh. Ma kodesh osur v'achila. If you magdish something, you can't eat it. Is af ma'isa Shabbos asurim v'achila, violation of Shabbos is also like creating a violation of kedusha, and therefore it's osur v'achila. Now, assuming we're dealing with the Doraisa, the Rishonim want to know, does this apply to any malacha Doraisa? No, it only applies to a limited number of malachos, where the malach itself was mechadesh davar, like for example cooking, you change the whole nature of the object. But let's say if you carried kelim from one rishus to another rishus and violated hotzah, that's not called ma'isa shav. So kedusha means where the malacha created and changed the structure, the molecular structure of the object. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Imai kodesh also ba'noaf ma'isa Shabbos also." No, why don't we take it one step further? And why don't we assume that just like hekdesh is also ba'noah, and that's a doraisa halacha, so too ma'isa Shabbos should be also ba'noah. Tavid lomar, it says in the pasuk kodeshi lachem. This is a famous sugi psachim that whenever the Torah says lachem, it means shalachem yehei, that you can benefit from it. Yochalam, I think afilu b'shogeg. Right, we only said that according to Rabbi Yochanan Asanlor, in the case of shogeg, it's also during the Shabbos, but after Shabbos it's mutter. Why do we limit this drasha of ma kodesh asa b'achila only to Shabbos? Only to mezid. Talmud lomar mechaleh mos yumas. The rest of this pasuk of ushmartem es haShabbos ki kodesh ilachem is mechaleh mos yumas, which means we're dealing with a capital crime, we're dealing with a mezid. The mezid amarti l'cha v'lo b'shogeg. And now we get to the main question. Is this drasha that we just learned for Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar, that was presented by Rabbi Chia, Pisco de Venecia, is that a doraisa, or is it perhaps what we call an asmachta? Pligi Beir of Acher Ravina, Chanomer Maisa Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Doraisa. That's the way we understood it, and that's how we applied it to explain the Shita of the Chachomim, that it becomes a Shechita Sheina Ru'uya when he shechs B'mezid on Shabbos. Hence, he doesn't pay Dal Vehei. But Chanomer, according to another opinion, we don't know who it is, it's either Ravina or Rav Acha, Mirabon. Mandi Omer Doraisa Kidamorim. We had the drush of Kodesh, Kodesh Ilochem, and it's Doraisa. Umandi Omin Rabbono, and Omakra Kodesh he Kodesh, the Ein Maaseh Kodesh. And it means that the Shabbos is Kodesh, but a Maisa that was done to violate the Shabbos, that's not Kodesh. And therefore, as far as the Torah is concerned, Maisa Shabbos is Mutter, and the Rabbanu were the ones who created the Isra Achila of Maisa Shabbos.
So in other words, both Rav Acha and Ravina accept the Drash, but one interprets it as a real Drash Halacha, and the other one interprets it as a Smachta.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I did say that, Chaim, and you're quoting me, so your quote is correct, but I think what I said is wrong.
Well, when it says plead,
you're right, and I'm wrong. Meaning you're right that I said it, but I don't think so. Well, I think what the other Shita, whether it's Rav Acha or Ravina, is saying is that let's go back to the pasuk and reinterpret it. It's not an asmachta. The entire entity of Maisa Shabbos, the whole enterprise, is the Rabbanon. But I'm not sure that this pasuk is an asmachta. I think I jumped the gun when I said that, because take a look at what he's saying here. He's saying Kodesh he lachem, and the word he is a mute, which means that he Kodesh, Shabbos is Kodesh, v'ein ma'aseh Kodesh. So if ain ma'aseh Kodesh, then it's hard to call that an asmachta, so I stay corrected on that. But what I did want to point out to you is the Rashba. The Rashba says, "Hechi tochein lomer shalufi amandi omar shurav yochra sandal som shemaisa shabbos osur kak min rabbonon." What do we do with this drasha ki kodesh heim? And now we're saying that Adarabba, the pasuk ki kodesh heim, is coming to be matir maisa shabbos. Very strange. You know, they're coming to defend and explain Rabbi Yochanan, and they're quoting a pasuk, and now the Gemara is saying that the interpretation of that pasuk is that Shabbos itself is awesome, but Maisa Shabbos is mutter. What's going on over here? So the answer he suggests here is that we should not make a mistake here. Rabbi Yochanan never presented this drasha. That was Rav Chia, Apiska de Benesia. And according to one man, the Yomar, whether it's Rav Acha or Ravina, this is incorrect, because this whole drasha that Rav Chia presented here is absolutely wrong, and we're not going to accept that. So, you know, the oddity here is that we started with a drasha to prove that there's an Issa called Maisa Shabbos, and now we're reinterpreting that same drasha in the opposite. Well, this drasha was coming to explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Sandler. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler was the one who was Oser Maisa Shabbos. Right? And he said, "B'meizid lo yeochel olamis lo lov lo acherim." It's an absolute Isur Maisa Shabbos that applies to everyone. So how can you then quote the pasuk? The answer is, don't blame Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. He never quoted this drasha. This was Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia understood that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler was talking about an Isur Doraisa. But according to the other interpretation, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler was not predicated on Issa Doraisa, hence this drasha is completely out. On the contrary, the drasha is Matir Maisa Shabbos, the Rabbanan Asid Maisa Shabbos. But one more point.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, and this wraps up the whole sugya that we started yesterday, that we're now really stuck, according to the Man D'Omer, who says the Rabbanan. Why? Because on a Doraisa level, there is no Issa Maisa Shabbos. The Torah says, Kodesh he lachem, he Kodesh v'lo maser Kodesh. And therefore, when the Ganav shechted the animal, or let's say his Shliach shechted the animal on Shabbos, so there's no way that you could say, well, the Ganav is potter because, a potter from Dalet V'Hei because of Shechita Sheina Ru'uya. On the contrary, it's a Shechita Ru'uya. Because even mazid on a Doraisa level is mutar b'achila. So a man cooks on Shabbos raw food on a Doraisa level. Even Rabbi Yochanan Sandler agrees, according to this version of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, that you're allowed to eat the cooked food on Shabbos. A man shechted an animal on Shabbos, you're allowed to eat the shechita. So it's the shechita ruya. So hence we're back to square one. Why the Rabbanan say that you're part of Dal Vehei? That's the next line in the Gemara. Ulaman di omen de Rabbanan, my tamayu de Rabbanan de patri. Why the Rabbanan say that the ganav is part of for this shechita, and he doesn't pay Dal Vehei? Why? So you tell me because the Shechita Sheina Ru'uya, that's not true. Because as long as the Shechita Ru'uya on a Doraisa level, that's enough to engender a Chiyuv Dal Ve'eh. Why should it be part of him Tashlumin? And here the Shita Mekubetz says another point. He says, when the Rabbanan said it's also Maisa Shabbos, they didn't mean to alleviate him from other penalties. You know, that Adarabba, the whole point of the Issa of the Rabbanan was to be machmir and clamp him down with an Issa and say, don't you benefit from it. Now we're going to let him benefit and say he doesn't pay Dal Vehei. So at this point, and this is the last few words that we'll read for today, and for this week, like I see you, is Ki Kopachi Rabbanan Asha'ara, that the Rabbanan never meant to say that if the Shechita was implemented on Shabbos, there's no Chiyuv Dal V'Hei. The Rabbanan also agreed to Rabbi Meir that the Ganav will pay Dal V'Hei. The Shechita is a Shechita Ru'i if you hold that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's Easter, Maisa Shabbos is only the Rabbanon. But where did the Rabbanon disagree? They were disagreeing about the case of Shachat L'Shem Avodah Zorah. Because since he shechted L'Shem Avodah Zorah, and that Shechit is not Mati the boss, on the contrary, it generates an Easter Hanah of Avodah Zorah. Therefore, he's not Chayev Dalveh. So the Machlokas now between Rabbi Meir Chachamim is about whether or not Shechit Shein Aruya, Shmei Shechit or Lav Shei Shechit, enough to be as could be, whether he pays Dalveh.
Okay. Right after the after the drash, it says pligiba. Can that mean that one of the parties actually rejects the drash, or is it simply two? They both accept the drash but have different interpretations.
It means both. Pligiba means two things. Number one, it means fundamentally, is Maisa Shabbos an Issa D'Oraisa, or it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan? And it also means pligiba, they disagree about how to interpret the pasuk, Ki Kodesh Hilachem.
But it can mean that one of the parties actually rejects Rav Rikia's drash. Pligiba can mean
not only it can mean, it definitely means that, okay, that one of the two Matyoma rejected this drash. On the contrary, this drash tells you that Maisa Shabbos is mutter. Not the way Rav Chia said it, that this is the source of Maisa Shabbos is also.
Are they arguing only with respect to Rabbi Yochanan and Sandler, or are they arguing, fundamentally, in other words?
I would say the following, that Rabbi Chia would agree that all the other Tanoim interpreted as being Matir Maisa Shabbos. Rabbi Chia was only pointing out that Rabbi Yochanan Sadler had a very particular, unique way of learning this pasuk. And now the Gemara says that even within Rabbi Yochanan Sadler, not everybody agrees to that.
So Rabbi Achim and Rina are arguing whether Rabbi Yochanan Sadler believes it's the right story.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Hence, they're arguing how to dash in the apostle, because they're not accepting Rabbi Chia's drasha.
All within the frame of Rabbi Yochanan Sadler.
Now, according to all the Tanoim, the apostle means that there's no Easter Maisa Shabbos. That only Shabbos is Kodesh. It's very fascinating, and please ask me this question next week. It seems like the Torah itself had a Havamina that maybe there should be an Easter Maisa Shabbos. This we have to shut off. In other words, according to this drasha, and all the Tanoim agreed in one opinion, and according to him, or according to Rabbi, everybody but Rabbi Yochanan agreed to this, the Torah's coming lafuke, don't think that there's an Issa Kedusha that applies to Maisa Shabbos. Why was there such a halami? I don't know. Let's say, for example, a chashom person wears shatnez. So you can tell me that the beged is osur because of, the beged is, you can never, even if you take out the wool or whatever it is. You understand? Whatever isur, you're going to tell me that it's going to be osur. That's not mine. No.